You're listening to Radio Hangar, aviation talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey there, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're digging into something that I think is genuinely the most undertrained skill in general, aviation, slow flight. And I don't mean the version where you just pull back the power, raise the nose, and wait for the stall horn to start whining. I mean actually mastering the airplane at the edge of its performance envelope, understanding what it's telling you, feeling it in your hands and your feet. If you're a student pilot right now, this one's for you. If you got your certificate 10 years ago and haven't practiced slow flight since your check ride, this one's especially for you. Before we get rolling, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's talk about why slow flight matters so much. And I mean really matters, not just as a box to check on a practical test. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Slow flight isn't an exercise. It's the foundation of everything you do in the traffic pattern. Every approach, every landing, every go around, you are flying in the slow flight regime every single time you come back to the airport. And if you're not comfortable there, you're operating on borrowed luck. Now let's get the regulatory piece out of the way, because it actually helps frame this whole discussion. The Airman Certification Standards, the document the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, uses to define what you need to know for your check ride, has a very specific task for slow flight under Area of Operation 7, which covers slow flight and stalls. The ACS calls it maneuvering during slow flight, and here's the key language. You need to establish and maintain an airspeed at which any further increase in angle of attack, increase in load factor, or reduction in power would result in a stall warning. Let me say that again, because it's important. Any further increase in angle of attack. Any increase in load factor. Any reduction in power, that's the boundary. You're not casually flying slow. You're flying right at the edge of the stall warning. And the examiner is looking for you to maintain that condition while performing heading changes, altitude changes, and configuration changes smoothly, confidently, without the airplane getting away from you. That's a tall order. And it's a tall order because most students don't get enough practice doing it. So let's walk through this together. What does slow flight actually feel like, and how do you get good at it? First thing, when you slow the airplane down, everything changes. The controls get mushy, the ailerons don't respond the way they do at cruise speed. You need more rudder, a lot more rudder than you think. In something like a Cessna 172, as you approach slow flight speeds, somewhere around 45 to 50 knots depending on your configuration, you'll notice the airplane wants to yaw, especially when you add power. And that right there is lesson number one. Slow flight is a rudder exercise as much as anything else. Students tend to fixate on the airspeed indicator and forget about coordination. But the FAA cares deeply about coordinated flight, and for good reason. An uncoordinated stall is what kills people. That's not me being dramatic, that's just the accident data. So when you're practicing, pay attention to the ball, keep it centered, use your feet. If you're adding power, you need right rudder. If you're reducing power, you need to relax that right rudder. Feel the airplane. Listen to it. Second thing, power and pitch have swapped roles. In normal flight, you use pitch to control altitude and power to control airspeed. That's the standard mental model. But in slow flight, the relationship reverses. Think of it this way. You're already at a high angle of attack. If you want to climb, you don't just pull back, you add power. If you want to descend, you reduce power. Pitch controls your airspeed. Power controls your altitude. Now, is that an oversimplification? A little bit? Everything's connected. But as a working mental model for slow flight, it's gold, and it maps directly to what you do on final approach. Want to go down to the runway, reduce power, getting slow, lower the nose slightly. It's the same dance. Third thing, and this is where people really struggle, turns in slow flight. When you bank the airplane, you increase the load factor. That means the stall speed goes up. In a 30-degree bank, your stall speed increases by about 7%. Doesn't sound like much, right? But when you're already flying 3 or 4 knots above stall warning speed, that 7% matters a lot. So what do? You add a little power before or as you enter the turn, you accept a slightly shallower bank angle. 15 to 20 degrees is plenty, and you stay coordinated. This is not the time for steep turns. This is the time for smooth, gentle, deliberate inputs. Here's a scenario I see all the time as an instructor. Student enters slow flight, doing great, holding altitude, holding airspeed. Then I ask for a turn to the left. They bank, the nose drops. They pull back, the stall warning goes off, they panic and push the nose down and add full power all at once. Now they're accelerating, climbing, and completely out of the exercise. The fix is anticipation. Before you turn, add a touch of power, maybe 100 RPM. Enter the bank slowly, hold a little back pressure to maintain altitude, but don't chase the stall warning with the yoke. If the stall warning comes on, level the wings slightly and add a tiny bit of power. Don't abandon the maneuver, just adjust. That's the difference between a student who passes the check ride and one who doesn't. The ability to make small corrections instead of big ones. Fourth point, configuration matters. The ACS wants to see slow flight in different configurations. Clean, which means flaps up and gear up if you're in a retractable, and dirty, meaning flaps down, gear down. The airplane behaves differently in each configuration, and you need to be comfortable with both. With flaps extended, your stall speed drops. That's great. But you also get more drag, which means you need more power to maintain altitude. The airplane tends to be more stable in the dirty configuration, which is why a lot of instructors start there. But clean, slow flight is harder and arguably more important because it simulates the situation where you're maneuvering at low speed without the benefit of flaps. Think about it. You're in the traffic pattern. You haven't put your flaps in yet, and you need to maneuver. That's clean, slow flight. Practice both. Get comfortable with transitioning between them. Adding flaps in slow flight requires adjusting pitch and power simultaneously. Removing flaps requires even more attention because the stall speed is going up as you retract. Fifth thing, and this is the practical takeaway I want you to carry with you on every flight. Slow flight proficiency is go-around proficiency. Think about a go-around. You're slow. You're in a landing configuration. You need to add full power, manage the pitch change, retract flaps incrementally, and climb away, all while staying coordinated and maintaining runway alignment. That is a slow flight maneuver. It's not a separate skill. It's the same skill applied in a high-pressure moment. And the accident record tells us that go-arounds are where pilots get in trouble, not because the go-around itself is hard, but because they haven't practiced the slow flight regime enough to feel confident executing it when it counts. So here's my challenge to you. Next time you go fly, spend 15 minutes at altitude working on slow flight. Not just getting into it. Working in it, do turns, do climbs and descents. Add flaps, remove flaps, get the stall warning chirping, and then manage it. Don't be afraid of it. The stall warning is your friend. It's the airplane talking to you, telling you exactly where the boundary is. And if you're training for a check ride, ask your instructor to throw curveballs at you during slow flight. Ask them to call for a heading change to a specific heading. Ask them to have you track a VOR radial in slow flight. The more you can do while slow, the more confident you'll be on test day and every day after. One more thing before we wrap up. I want to address the psychological side of this. A lot of pilots, even experienced ones, are uncomfortable. Flying slow. There's something deeply instinctive about wanting airspeed. Airspeed feels like safety, and in most cases it is. But avoiding slow flight practice because it's uncomfortable is like avoiding stall practice because you don't like stalls. The discomfort is the point. You practice it so that when you find yourself there unexpectedly. On a gusty crosswind approach or during a botched pattern entry, you respond correctly instead of reacting badly. Fly the airplane. Trust the airplane. And practice the hard stuff. All right, that's our show for today. Today's discussion drew from the FAA's Airman Certification Standards, the Airplane Flying Handbook, and some excellent guidance from AOPA's Air Safety Institute on Maneuvering Flight. All outstanding resources if you want to dig deeper. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by people who love aviation and want to help you become a safer pilot. You can find more episodes, show notes, and links to everything we referenced today at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go fly. Go practice. And remember, slow flight isn't something you survive, it's something you master. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.